Shall we pray? Father, we give you glory and honor, worship and praise, for you are the Lord who sanctifies us. Yahweh Mekadesh, Father. The Lord God who sanctifies us, removing from us, O God, every evil of the world that we live in, Father. Manifesting in us the substance of the holy and the substance of the most holy, Father. The fullness of Jesus Christ, O God, that unveils each one of us as a new creation. And Father God, even as you manifest, O God, this awesomeness of his fullness into us, even as you circumcise our hearts in the realization of all that you're bringing into us, Father God, you are making us a brand new creation in holiness unto you, Father. A people sanctified and consecrated to your purposes, Father. So Father God, we pray for this Sabbath rest, O God, that enables us to receive and realize more and more of the fullness of Jesus Christ. That enables us to realize, O God, the awesomeness, O God, of being unveiled as a covenant people, Father. So Father God, in the name of Jesus, Father, in the reality of Yahweh Mekadesh, Father, we are being brought forth into the Holy of Holies, Father, to be a covenant people in whose hearts, O God, is unveiled a witness in blood, water, and spirit, a witness in substance of the holy and the most holy, Father, and a witness, O God, that proclaims, O God, the reality, O God, of a function in covenant with you, Lord. We pray that you will continue, O God, to unveil this revelation to our hearts so that we may become sons of God in the image and fullness of Jesus Christ. We thank you and we bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. We are on the name Yahweh Mekadesh, which means I am the Lord who sanctifies you. And we have understood so far that God sanctifies us in a Sabbath rest. That one, the reality in which we come to rest in God is the reality in which we are holy unto God. To be holy unto God is to be able to rest in Him, to be able to do all things in the wonder of Him. Because when we rest in God, we belong to God. We are truly set apart unto God. Now in the reality of being sanctified, we have come to the understanding that this process of being sanctified is of substance, right? It is of the bread of the holy and the bread of the most holy. You find that in Leviticus chapter 21 and verse 22. Leviticus chapter 21 verse 22. It says that the priest may eat the bread of his God, both of the most holy and of the holy. So we know that that bread is of the substance of the master's fullness. And whenever we hear and receive the word of God in the spirit and life of Jesus, whenever we hear and receive of the word of God in his witness and his testimony, whenever we receive the word of God explained to us in his spirit, in his life, we are realizing a reality of the word that will enable us to unveil as a new creation. We are realizing the word that God will perform in our lives. We are realizing the word that God will manifest into our soul as the bread of the holy and our spirit as the bread of the most holy. And in that process, God actually creates us. And that's what is so exciting about being alive to the Lord our God who sanctifies us. Because he sanctifies us, makes us holy through substance. It is a supernatural work of God. And if we as the church of Jesus Christ understand this revelation, it will set the church free. It will enable us to realize the righteousness of our God. It will enable us to realize what our God can do with us instead of just trying to live our best. And this is what we have to come alive to. In this process of being sanctified, or in this process of being made holy, God is manifesting to us substance. So in Hebrews chapter 9, let's just turn to that. Hebrews chapter 9. Verses 3 and 4, we see a summary in symbolic form or in prophetic form of what God wants to bring forth as the God who sanctifies us. So from verse 2 to verse 4. For there was a tabernacle prepared, the outer one, in which were the lampstand and the table and the sacred bread. This is called the holy place. And behind the second veil there was a tabernacle which is called the Holy of Holies, having a golden altar of incense and the Ark of the Covenant covered on all sides with gold, in which was a golden jar holding the manna and Aaron's rod which budded, and the tables of the covenant. All right. And so, in all of our sessions, we have been saying, we have coming to this point, that there is a witness that God wants to develop within us. Now, Aaron's rod that budded represents that functional witness. And that functional witness unveils to us in a reality that is called the Ark of the Covenant. Now, what do we understand as the Ark of the Covenant? The Ark of the Covenant is also called the Ark of the Testimony. It is called the Ark of God. It is called by the name of Yahweh Sabaoth, the Lord of Hosts. It is also called the Ark of His Might. And last week we said that all that is represented in the name and testimony of Jesus. So, in the Old Testament, the priesthood carried a physical box that was the Ark. In the New Testament, we are called to carry the name of Jesus. We are called to discover the name of Jesus. In Ephesians 3, chapter 17, verse 17, 18, and 19 tells us that this ark is represented as the length, the breadth, the height, and the depth that is of the fullness of Jesus Christ. And it is manifested in a love that surpasses knowledge. It is a manifestation of the love of God that is given to us in Christ Jesus. And what is represented in the length, the breadth, the height, and the depth, right, is this dimension of the covenant. Only thing is, it's no longer a box. It is manifested in a fullness of Jesus Christ that we know is going to fill all in all. And so, God describes that in Ephesians chapter 3 verse 18 as the length, the breadth, the height, and the depth. Depth representing the intensity of the fullness of Jesus Christ that we have come to realize. And in this fullness, God wants us to realize all that He has given us through His Son. All that He has for us in His Son. And so Ephesians chapter 3, 19, verse 19 says that we are all to be filled to all the fullness of our God. Now all that is symbolically, prophetically represented by three things that are in the Ark of the Covenant. Right? The manna forms the substance of our heart. The tables of the covenant, that means the manner of the manner of the bread forms the substance that is of Jesus' fullness that forms our heart, and upon it is written the word of God, and that makes up the tablets of the covenant. And then there is a witness, and that witness is Aaron's rod that budded, and we are called to function in that reality. And in that reality, we are called to function in the name of Jesus, to do all things in the name of Jesus. And to do all things in the name of Jesus, we have to realize His fullness. And that fullness is in substance, and that fullness is in witness. So substance is a definition, witness is function. All right? And this is what is the basis of blood covenant. And we are called to be a blood covenant people. And this reality of what God is forming within us in blood covenant is 100% the work of God. This is not the work of man. This is the manifestation of the righteousness of God. And all this we have to receive and realize in a rest. You have to learn how to rest in God and allow Him to do this work inside of you, as He has ordained it in His will from the foundations of the world. Now this is why in Psalm 139 verse 14 it is said that you and I are fearfully and wonderfully made. That God knew us before our unformed substance. God knew us, and the sum total of his thoughts over each one of us was vast. Psalm 139 verse 17, I think. All right. So you and I are called to realize this great mystery of Christ in our inward parts. And this mystery of Christ is meant to unveil us as a brand new creation. In this realization of what God is doing in us, in substance and witness within us, we are going to be unveiled as a new creation. Are you with me? As a new creation. And the blueprint in which we are going to be built in is the fullness of Jesus Christ. Again, I would like to say that that fullness of Jesus Christ that we are each called to receive, realize, and express is in substance and it is in witness. Substance of the holy, or the bread of the holy, is to unveil our soul. And our soul is our mind, our will, our personality, our character, our nature. Our spirit is called to function in communion with God. And that is to be manifested in the bread of the most holy. That too is of substance. And there is a witness that functions in the substance of the holy and the substance of the most holy. And that witness is a witness that God has given us through the cross. A witness in blood, water, and spirit. And Revelation chapter 3 verse 14 describes this witness as the Amen, the true and faithful witness, the beginning of the creation of God. And God is bringing forth his sons. It is a creative work. And these sons are dedicated unto him. They are sanctified for his glory. These are sons who are going to learn how to rest in God and let God come through in their lives. Are you with me? Now, the reason why we are going into this depth is so that we understand directionally where we are going. So in each and every one of our lives, there is something we have to understand very clearly. We have to learn how to rest in God. We have to learn how to rest in God and allow him to accomplish this work in our lives. And not get in the way, because this is a work that is entirely ordained by God. This is the work that stands in the reality of the Most Holy. This is a work that God means to unveil in each one of us so that we will stand in the Mount of the Lord. Are you with me? So each one of us is a tabernacle in the making. And ultimately God wants us to be tabernacled in the secret place of the Most High God, under the shadow of the Almighty. That is the position that he wants us to occupy. And Psalm 91 verse 1 declares that. So you and I have to rise into the Mount of the Lord from a heart that is to be pure. Correct? And how is your heart going to be pure? In the substance of the Master's fullness. There is a part of your heart that is linked to your soul, and there is a part of your heart that is linked to your spirit. So the word of God divides between spirit and soul, because there are two different functionalities in spirit and soul. Your soul is where you dwell as a human being. Your soul is where your character, your personality, your mind, your emotions, and all those things are. And that is meant to be holy unto God. So the substance of that is the substance of the bread of the holy. And the bread of the most holy is a substance that is going to fashion and form your spirit man and enable you then to commune with God in a rest. Okay? Because you can only commune and function with God in a rest. You rest in him. Alright, so in your spirit you're going to draw realities of God, right? And in your soul you're going to learn how to live in subjection or in obedience to that wonder of God that is open to your spirit. And through your body, you're going to manifest the light of God, the glory of being able to do all things by the Spirit in the name of Jesus. One day we will have new bodies. New bodies that are of a unique substance, right? If you look at Jesus Christ risen, you find that he had a solid body, and yet he could manifest himself through walls, right? Right? He could just appear in the room, and yet he could. Right? Yet when he appeared and he manifested himself, his body was real. I mean, it was, he could eat fish and he could commune with people and he could touch them. Right? So it was a different kind of body, right? A body charged with a new reality. A new reality. And so God is in the process of unfolding us so that we will be in that image and that fullness, so that we will unveil as sons of God. That is where we are going towards. And this is a reality of being sanctified. And the person of God who is working this into us is called Yahweh Mukadesh, the Lord God who sanctifies, who makes his sons holy unto him, so that then he can use them as his vessels. Then he can reveal his glory to them. Then they will come to know him, and then they will come to understand him, and then they will come to be able to live in an intimacy with him. Right? Because God is most holy. So as you and I grow in the Lord, as the substance in us and the witness in us grows, we will commune with God at an increasingly higher level. And at each level, God is taking us into the mount of the Lord at higher and higher and higher levels. All right? And at these higher levels, God is going to bring forth in us, right, a greater and greater and greater measure of his fullness, manifested to us through Jesus Christ. And this is how we will unveil, and this is how we are going to be fashioned and formed and created. Are you with me? So as God takes us into this rest, he's also going to circumcise our hearts. We have done that under the name El Shaddai, right? The Lord God who is the Almighty, who wants to circumcise our hearts so that we can become sons of God. Right? You remember that? Okay? Because when Abraham stood before El Shaddai told him that I will circumcise you, right? I will circumcise you in your flesh, and I will manifest an everlasting covenant. So it is a circumcised reality. Now if you look at the book of Hebrews, not the book of Hebrews, the book of Philippians, it tells us something about this circumcision. Philippians chapter 3, verse 3. Philippians chapter 3, verse 3. I'm reading from the New American Standard. For we are the true circumcision, who worship in the Spirit of God, and glory in Christ Jesus, and put no confidence in the flesh. Right? Put no confidence in the flesh. Now the ability to put no confidence in the flesh is a hallmark of the rest that we have realized in God. The more you rest in God, the less confidence you will have in the fallen flesh of man. Right? But this circumcised reality, right, is manifested in a heart of flesh that the Holy Spirit then circumcises in realities of the word that he has brought into us. Right? So our heart is circumcised in two realities. One of the holy, one of the most holy. The holy representing your soul, the most holy representing your spirit. And in your soul, he circumcises you in realities that bring out your character and nature in conformance to Jesus Christ. In your spirit, he circumcises you in functional reality so that you can function directly with God in communion. Right? The whole process is in Christ Jesus, and the whole process is orchestrated by the Holy Spirit, and the whole process stands in the will of the Father. And what is God doing? He is making covenant with you. At a very personal and intimate level, he's making covenant with you. He's making a unique son out of you. He's making a unique vessel out of you. There's no competition here. Each one of us has to realize what God has ordained for him. And there is no need to compete with anyone. What God has ordained for you, he's ordained for you from the foundations of the world. And you can realize and you can grow in this reality of what God has ordained for your life, measure upon measure of the fullness of Jesus Christ. In your soul, in terms of the bread of the holy, in your spirit, in terms of the bread of the most holy. And God is creating his sons. He's fashioning us in the image and fullness of Jesus Christ. And the intent is so that we will be a living tabernacle that is indwelt by the presence of the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. So Ephesians 3:19 says, we are all to be filled to all the fullness of our God. So that's our destiny. That's our destiny. And Yahweh Mukadesh is the Lord who works this process into us. Right? And we become the workmanship of God, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Blood covenant. So in this witness that is defined in substance, we are called to learn how to function in God. Now the substance that is within us is of the Word of God. And that substance is in the Word itself. That substance is of Jesus Christ. It is of the witness and testimony of Jesus. That substance is used to create us. That substance is represented by the Greek word hypostasis. So faith is a substance of hope. It starts at something that every Christian knows and understands at some level. So if you set your hope on the Lord Jesus Christ, 1 John chapter 3 verse 3 says, you will be made perfect, or you will be made pure, even as He is pure. Why? Because if you set your hope on Jesus Christ, the substance of your hope that manifests faith will be of Jesus Christ. Are you with me? And that substance of Jesus Christ is the basis of a new creation. So every one of us has access to this reality. To have access to this reality, you must be focused on Jesus, and you must understand the Word of God through the testimony of Jesus. And to understand the Word of God through the testimony of Jesus, you must understand the Word of God in terms of the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. If you understand it in terms of the law, you will be shut under the law. If you understand it in terms of the fulfillment of the law, then you will be open to the substance of the fullness of Jesus Christ. And God will do a creative work inside of you, grace upon grace. For of His fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. And in that fullness, God creates covenant within you. The law was given through Moses, John 1:17. But grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. So grace and truth is the medium in which God creates us. And as you learn to focus on Jesus Christ, as you learn to understand that in Jesus Christ the law is fulfilled. How is it fulfilled? It is fulfilled fundamentally in His nature and His character. So if you and I receive of the nature and character of Jesus, then we will be holy unto God. Our spirit will be most holy unto God. But if we try to live the law in our own merits, then we will never see this reality. We will go round and round in circles. We will never see the reality of the righteousness of God, because the righteousness of man and the righteousness of God are mutually exclusive. To the righteousness of the law and the righteousness that is of God, it's not the same thing. If you choose to live by the law, then you will have to observe all the laws, and you will have to live by the law in your own merits, and you won't make the grade. But if you choose to realize the righteousness of God, then the substance of Jesus will be manifested in you, and in the substance of Jesus, the fulfillment of the law has already been achieved. In His nature, you will be a different person. You will be a new creation. So in His character, you will realize a new way of thinking, a new way of doing things, a new way of behaving, a new way of speaking. Everything inside of you and me will become brand new. So that's what God is talking about. And so, if you go back to the Sabbath, right? In Exodus, He says, if you break the Sabbath, you will die. Right? Let's turn to Exodus. Chapter 31, from verse 12. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, but as for you, speak to the sons of Israel, saying, you shall surely observe my Sabbaths. For this is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you. Therefore you are to observe the Sabbath, for it is holy to you. Everyone who profanes it shall surely be put to death. For whoever does any work on it, that person shall be cut off from among his people. What is God pointing to? Why was He so severe about this? He's trying to illustrate a principle that if you and I don't learn how to rest in God, we will never realize the great and deep promises of God.
We have to learn how to rest in God. Ultimately, the human being is to be created as having an inbuilt ability to rest in God. The more you can rest in God, the greater will be the realized reality of the life of God within you. So God is trying to illustrate this point in the severity of the law, and he says, if you break the Sabbath, you will die. And so what does that mean for us today? It means that if you and I don't realize a reality of being able to rest in God, we will perish. The human race cannot live in its own abilities. That is the lesson of history. And so if you look at the entire human race and the history in which we have lived, what have we done? We have done our own thing. We have tried to do what we think is right. And that has been a total and unmitigated failure. So what is God trying to point to in the Sabbath? He's saying, you have to learn how to function by me. You have to learn how to rest in me and let me become your life. That's why the name of God is I am who I am. I am the Lord who sanctifies you. God has to sanctify you. If he doesn't sanctify you, you and I will never become holy. Because sanctification is a process undertaken by the living God. So he presents it under the law, knowing that nobody will be able to achieve it. But Jesus Christ came and he achieved it. Praise the Lord. He achieved it. When the Lord Jesus Christ committed his spirit to the Father, he first said, it is finished, right? And then he committed himself to the Father. For 3 hours before that, the Holy Spirit left him, right? And he was alone. And in that reality, he came to rest in God. Inflicted with our sin, condemned with the realities of our sin, he was able to rest in God and was able to then commit his spirit to the Father. And Romans chapter 1 verse 3 and 4 tells us that he was raised from the dead and his spirit was declared to be the spirit of holiness. And the spirit of holiness is a living expression of the Sabbath realized. So Jesus Christ realized the Sabbath in that period when he battled with darkness, right? And he realized his rest in God. Are you with me? And that's why he is the blueprint for you and me. So we have to receive and realize everything that is of him in order for us to learn how to rest in God. And it's crucial for us to understand that. So remember John 1:16, of his fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. So grace is tied to the fullness of Jesus Christ. And it is only through grace that you can come to rest in God. And in that rest, God is going to create you, fashion you, and form you so that you can become all that God wants you to become. And it is entirely and exclusively the workmanship of God. Praise the Lord. So you and I have to understand this. So if you try and observe the law, then all you will achieve is your righteousness. And your righteousness will never make the grade. Right? Because the righteousness of Moses did not take him into the promised land. In the righteousness of John sitting in jail, he asked the question, are you the Christ? And you realize that there is a big difference between the righteousness of man and the righteousness of God. Let's turn to John. Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11 verse 11. Truly, truly, truly I say to you, among those born of women, there has not arisen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. So what is the Lord Jesus trying to demonstrate here? The difference between the law and the fulfillment of the law. There is no doubt that John the Baptist was a very righteous man as measured against men. But everything that is unveiled in the kingdom of heaven is going to be of the righteousness of God. And you and I have to learn how to rest in God and allow God to work into us what he has purposed. You and I have to rest in God and walk into what God has called us, because it is in our calling that we will realize how to function in our God. And resting in God is part and parcel of knowing how to function in Him. So you and I are called to realize this. So we are a covenant people, and the covenant is being fashioned and formed in our inward parts. God wants that rod of Aaron, right, to blossom inside of us. He wants that witness that He has given us through the cross to become a living, functional witness within us, so that we can do things by the Spirit in the name of Jesus, so that we can do all things in the name of Jesus. Right? Because if we do all things in the name of Jesus, then God can give us anything. And that's the position God wants the church to realize, so that we can unveil as sons of God and God can manifest His abundance. For that abundance to manifest, we must come to rest in God. And to rest in God, we must be fashioned and formed in the image and fullness of Jesus Christ. We must be of His substance. The more of Him you are, the more you will be able to rest in the Lord. And the more of God you can see, the more of God will be manifested through you. The more of God will be unveiled through your life and your ministry. So that is what is God's plan. So God has to sanctify you. If you try to sanctify yourself by the law, then all you will manifest is your own righteousness. If you compare yourself with other people, you may look better. But to truly become perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect, you must realize, that's in Matthew chapter 5 verse 48. To become as perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect, you have to receive of the substance of the Master, the substance of the Holy, the bread of the Holy, and the substance of the Most Holy, the bread of the Most Holy. You have to learn how to rest in God. You cannot be holy unto God without substance. And that substance is only the substance of the fullness of Jesus Christ. So under the law, if you try to set yourself apart, it will never work. But if you set your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ, if you set your heart on receiving and realizing of His fullness, if you set your heart on being manifested in the image and fullness of Jesus Christ, if you expect the Holy Spirit to work the fullness of Jesus Christ into you, if you pray to the Father to give you the Son, to unveil the Son within you, to manifest the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus into your inward part, so that the exceeding greatness of the power will be of Him and not of yourself, then you can walk into this reality of realizing the substance that is of Jesus Christ. So crucial for us to understand this. We have to be created in Christ Jesus. Right? We have to be created in Christ Jesus. Right? Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. From verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. So faith is a gift of God. Faith is the gift of God. What is the faith that God has given us? The faith of Jesus Christ. Turn with me to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, verse 21. And verse 22. But now the righteousness of God apart from the law. Listen to those words, okay? The righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Being witnessed how? Being witnessed through their fulfillment in Jesus Christ, okay? Verse 22. Even the righteousness of God through faith. All our modern translations say faith in Jesus Christ. The old King James Bible says faith of Jesus Christ. Alright? So the righteousness of God manifests through the faith of Jesus Christ. Alright? Now let's turn to Revelation chapter 14 verse 12. Revelation chapter 14 verse 12. Reading from the New King James Bible. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Right? The faith of Jesus. All right? The faith of Jesus. So if you and I don't receive of the faith of Jesus, now faith is substance, right? So the faith of Jesus comes with the substance that is of him. So you need to understand that Jesus is therefore called the author and finisher of our faith. Now he's the author and finisher of our faith because we are able to receive of his faith. So through his faith, he authors and finishes our faith. Are you with me? And in that simple process, God is manifesting the bread of the holy and the bread of the most holy. Hypostasis. Right? So Hebrews chapter 3 verse 14 says that we are partakers of Christ. If we hold fast to our confidence, and that Greek word for confidence there in the New King James Bible, Hebrews chapter 3 verse 14, that Greek word is hypostasis. So how do we partake of Christ? Through substance. And that substance manifests as a confidence, or an assurance, or a conviction, or an evidence. And it's the evidence that God has manifested through substance. That is unshakable. That substance is of the fullness of Jesus Christ. That substance brings into us a new reality. And so God is telling us something of awesome proportions. So we should give up trying to do things in our own strength and realize what God is talking about. Rest in me and let me come through. Let me come through. I want to show you a passage that's found in the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. I want to read this from the New American Standard because it comes out very powerfully in the New American Standard. And this is what it reads from the middle of verse 9. Paul is making a prayer, and this is what he says, that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will. Whose will? The Father's will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, that the Lord Jesus, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power, according to his glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience. So God has to strengthen us with all power according to his glorious might. Now the Greek word for strengthened with all power is dunamu and dunamis. Strengthen means dunamu, and power is dunamis. That's the power of his resurrection. And you are called to realize that in a witness of steadfastness and patience inside of you. The King James Bible uses different words. It mixes up the power and the... But the word for strengthened is dunamu. And the word for power is dunamis. So you are to be strengthened with all power according to the Father's glorious might, so that you will be manifested in all steadfastness and patience. Because God is doing a mighty work. Right? Are you with me? So let him do that work. It will take time for him to do that work. So you have to be patient and allow God to do that work. That doesn't mean you don't do anything. What it means is you allow God to fashion and form you and lead you step by step. Don't run ahead of God, because if you run ahead of God, it will become you attempting to manifest things in your own workmanship, and it won't work. It has to be the workmanship of God. Those tablets of the covenant have to be the workmanship of God. You find that in Exodus chapter 32 verse 15 and 16, where those two tablets were the work of God, and they were written upon as God's writing. So they are 100% the work of God. You cannot have it any other way. And if we keep on trying to think that you know, if we don't hurry and do things, that you know,
God's plans will somehow or other not be achieved, you're talking nonsense, really, because after 2,000 years, we and the church haven't gone very far. We are still on the basics. We haven't even understood the basics of our Christian faith very well. So after 2,000 years, it is time for us to let God to be God, isn't it? To let God sanctify us, to let God build in us the substance that will enable everything that is the body of Christ to be the work of God. Because our efforts at building the church haven't turned out to be very nice. It is time for us to allow God to be God. Allow Him to work the inward parts. Allow Him to build the church. We are the vessels through whom God will move, but we must allow Him to work us so that we will become His vessels and not vessels of our own making. Trying to do things our way. Our way will not work. That's the history of the human race. Our way, we don't know what we are doing. That's why Jesus prayed on the cross, "Father, they do not know what they are doing." Right? Because that's true. In each one of our lives, we have learned that. So it's time for us to learn how to rest in God and realize the Sabbath so that God can build in us the substance of the holy and the substance of the most holy. Now let's go back to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. Again, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not as a result of works, that is of human works, that no one should boast." So faith is a gift. Jesus is the author and finisher of that faith. So we have to receive it from Him. It has to be of Him. It has to be the faith of Jesus Christ. Because the faith of Jesus Christ is a perfect faith. It will not do the wrong thing. Verse 10. "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works." And unless you are created in Christ Jesus, you cannot do the good works. The good works are contingent on being created in Christ Jesus, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. "Therefore remember that formerly you, the Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision, which is performed in the flesh by human hands. Remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For He Himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall." So now there is no longer Jew and Gentile. Now there is no longer male and female. Now there is no longer people who are of high status and people who are low status. All right. Verse 15, "by abolishing in His flesh the enmity which is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, that in Himself He might make the two into one new man, thus establishing peace." So how is He going to bring forth this peace? By manifesting the two into one new man. So what is God doing with the male and female? What is God doing with Jew and Gentile? God is manifesting one new man. And how is He manifesting it? He is manifesting it in a new creation that is of His flesh. So it says, "by abolishing in His flesh the enmity which is the law." So in the flesh of the Lamb, that is the substance of His fullness. The bread of the holy, the bread of the most holy. Are you with me? And it abolishes the enmity of the law. So verse 15, it says, "by abolishing in His flesh the enmity which is the law of commandments contained in ordinances." So in the flesh of the Lamb, the law is abolished. Now why is the law abolished? Because it has been fulfilled in His flesh. It has been fulfilled in the substance of His fullness. The bread of the holy and the bread of the most holy. If you receive of the bread of the holy, you will have a perfect character, nature and personality. If you receive of the bread of the Most Holy, you will have a perfect spirit man, able to commune with God perfectly. So there's no need of a law anymore. Now, how do we receive of the substance of His fullness? By promise. See, the covenants are based on promise, not on merit. If the covenants were based on merits, then we will never be party to the covenant. So the covenants were entirely based on promise. The covenant to Abraham was a promise, a covenant of promise, which would be fulfilled in the merits of the Lamb. He would fulfill the law and enable us to realize the covenants, because we will be able to receive of His substance. He would become the author and finisher of our faith. Are you listening? The substance will be of Him. We will realize of His faith. We will realize of His spirit. We will realize of His life. We will realize of His character. We will realize of His nature. We will realize of His mind. We will realize of His thoughts. We will realize of His witness. We will realize of His testimony. We will realize of everything that is defined in His spirit. Wisdom, knowledge, understanding, counsel, strength, courage, truth. The fear of the Lord, unveiled in the elements of love, worship, obedience, servanthood, trusting God, ability to cling to God, the ability to tremble in awe at God's word, and to be holy unto Him. To receive of His spirit of faith, to receive of the humility and contriteness that is of the character and nature of Jesus Christ. Are you listening? So in order to be able to rest in God, you have to receive of the substance of Jesus Christ. If you don't, you will never be able to rest in God. You will keep on being in a state of turmoil. But this process of receiving of the substance of Jesus Christ, you have to be fully subject to God. So to rest, you have to rest. So as you rest in God, He will take you into a deeper rest, and He'll take you into a deeper rest, and He will take you into a deeper rest. And He will abolish in that process your flesh. The flesh of your fallen man. How is He going to abolish that flesh of your fallen man? By circumcising your heart in realities that are defined in Jesus Christ. And you will be a new creation. You will think differently. You will behave differently. Your realities will be different. Because the spirit that indwells you will be the spirit of Christ. His spirit will become the spirit of life within you. His spirit will become the spirit of faith within you. His spirit will become the spirit of wisdom within you. And so on and so forth. And so as you put on Christ, you are manifested as a new creation. Now this is the challenge that God wants to bring forth in the church. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 3 again. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 3. By revelation there was made known to me the mystery. So Paul is talking about something called the mystery. And in verse 14 he says that yet you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ. So the mystery is the mystery of Christ. Alright, so what does God want to do with this mystery? Verse 8, Paul says, the last line of verse 8, he talks about the unfathomable riches of Christ. So the mystery is to unveil the unfathomable riches of Christ. Alright, why unfathomable? Because it cannot be fathomed by the natural man. It can only be fathomed in the mind of Christ. It can only be fathomed as God creates you in Christ Jesus. Alright? And so he says that we are to bring to light what is the administration of the mystery. Now in your New King James Bible it says fellowship of the mystery. Right? Administration means that this mystery has to be manifested functionally. Fellowship means it has to be manifested in a communion. Put the two together, you find that the administration has to come out of a fellowship. But the fellowship in itself is not an end. The ultimate intent is to manifest an administration of the mystery.
All right.
Which for ages has been hidden in God who created all things, in order that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church, which is the body of Christ, right? To the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This is what the church has to bring forth to defeat Satan. So for Michael and his archangels to move against the enemy, the church has to manifest the witness and testimony of Jesus Christ. The church has to unveil the mystery of Christ. Now when this is timed, I don't really know. Right? But directionally, that's where we are going. And we need to understand this. Right? Remember, we are to manifest the mystery of Christ in the heavenly places. How do we manifest anything in the heavenly places? Through worship. Through prayer. Through worship, we can manifest realities in the heavenly places. Through prayer, we can manifest realities in the heavenly places. We can declare. Right? Through the prophetic word that we release, through our mouths, we can manifest things in the heavenly places. Through right teaching, we can draw people so that their hearts will be circumcised and their hearts will ascend into the mount of the Lord and be manifested in heavenly places. Praise the Lord. And all this is the workmanship of God. That's why it is eminently possible. Because it is the workmanship of God. Because that everything stands in the substance of the Master's fullness, all things are possible. All right? So all this comes back to a key verse that God unveils in the book of Numbers. Numbers chapter 28 verse 2. And this is the basis of everything that God wants to do in the church of Jesus Christ. I'm going to read from the New American Standard because they have translated this brilliantly. In verse 2, verse 1 and 2. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, command the sons of Israel and say to them, you shall be careful to present my offering, my food for my offerings by fire, of a soothing aroma to me at their appointed time. But at the heart of it, this is what the Christian faith is built on. Our ability to present God's offering. God's offering is Jesus Christ. Are you with me? So that's it. The witness inside of us is to be manifested in substance and in a living witness of spirit, water, and blood. All that represents the offering that was given to us on the cross. We are to realize that offering in our inward parts and manifest that offering in heavenly places. Praise the Lord. And to do that, we have to learn how to rest in God. We rest as we receive and realize of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Can you see that? It is not by human effort. It is by learning how to allow God to work into us what only He can do. Are you with me? So it's so important for us to teach Christians how to rest in God. How to let God do what He has purposed in their lives. So often we try to do our best. And every time we try to do our best, we are learning, we are trying to live the law. And the law is not going to be fulfilled by you and me trying our best. The law can only be fulfilled if we receive and realize and express Jesus Christ through our lives. He is the life. Praise the Lord. So this is the law of life. That the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus will set you free from the law of sin and death. If you don't live in Christ Jesus by the Holy Spirit, you will never be set free from the law of sin and death. You will keep on going around the wilderness until you fail. So that is what it means to rest. So as you rest in the Lord, you will learn how to function by the Holy Spirit in Christ Jesus. This will set you free from the law of sin and death, and you will be unveiled as a brand new creation. Praise the Lord. Nothing will be impossible to you. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you that in this reality of Yahweh Mukadesh, the Lord God who sanctifies. You have given us, O God, an awesome revelation of what you have purposed, Lord. It is so good to hear that we are meant to be your workmanship created in Christ Jesus. It is so good to hear that the law will be abolished in the flesh of the Lamb. And the flesh of the Lamb will be manifested to us as the bread of the holy and the bread of the most holy. And we will unveil as a brand new creation, our soul and our spirit manifested, O God, in substance that is of the fullness of Jesus Christ. That each one of us will be perfect in this substance. And in this substance there will also come forth a witness. And that witness will enable us to do all things the right way, Lord. We will speak the right things, we will think the right things, we will behave the right things, we will relate in the right way. We will do all things, O God, in righteousness and holiness of the truth. We will be sons of the living God. We will be your workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works. And we will testify of that reality in the heavenly places, proclaiming the word that will destroy the works of the enemy, proclaiming the word that will destroy the strongholds of the enemy, proclaiming the witness and testimony of Jesus that will allow Michael and his archangels to move against the strongholds of the enemy in the high places, Lord. And we know that this is the destiny of the Church of Jesus Christ. Surely, O God, the victory of Jesus Christ will be fully realized in each and every one of us, Lord. And we will rise, O God, and manifest that realization, O God, in the merits of the Lamb because of the righteousness of our God. We know that nothing is impossible. Indeed, we shall come forth perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect. And this realization will manifest in a growing rest, O God. A growing rest unveiled in hearts circumcised by the Holy Spirit. And as the circumcision increases, as the circumcision, O God, is made more and more complete, we will unveil, O God, with no confidence in our fallen flesh. We will be a new creation. We will function differently. We will truly be a sanctified people. We will truly, O God, be a witness and a testament, O God, of your workmanship. We bless you, Father, that we have the freedom and liberty of the Spirit in Christ Jesus that sets us free from the law of sin and death. We are a new creation and we are being unveiled in the glory of your grace. We bless you that of his fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. And in this realization through Jesus Christ, Lord, we are sons of the living God. We bless you and thank you that every division, O God, amongst us will be removed, O God, in this realization. To you we give the glory. We bless you, Lord Jesus, for the sacrifice that you have made, O Lord. As we receive and realize of your sacrifice by the Holy Spirit, we will truly hallow the Father in the glory of his grace that we have come to receive, realize, and express. In Jesus' name, amen.